If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke, please. Luke chapter number 1. I thought while Brother White was preaching, he's talking about hearing Brother Melvin on the radio. We have something in common. We have faces made for radio. We can't all have that TV evangelist look like Brother Willis and Brother Stewart. Put Brother Willis in a wind tunnel, his hair wouldn't move a lick. Amen. I've had a good time. I've enjoyed being here. I appreciate all the hospitality. I'm glad Brother Nichols made it in, drove all the way in from Virginia to hear me preach. All right, Luke chapter number 1. I want to begin reading in verse number 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you now for the opportunity to be in your house today. I appreciate all the good preaching that we've heard. I thank you, Lord, that you're still calling young men to preach.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
And Lord, I pray, God, that you would put a special touch on them. I pray a hedge of protection about them, Lord, that you would protect their life and use them for your honor and for your glory. I pray for my preacher brethren. It seems, Lord, like the devil has leveled an all-out attack against the men of God. And I pray, Lord, that you would help each and every one of us to finish well the race that is set before us. I want to say I love you. And I thank you, God, for being so good to us. We sure don't deserve it, Lord, but I never cease to be amazed at the goodness of God. And we'll thank you and praise you if you'll help us now. We'll give you all the glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, I want to preach on this subject from this passage of Scripture today on can God trust you with Jesus? Can God trust you with Jesus? Now, we know here that the angel came to Mary. By the way, she was a virgin,
right.
Not a young maiden,
right.
Not a young woman,
right.
But a virgin. Amen. And I believe there are several reasons, but God sought to trust her above any and all others to carry the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe there's some reasons for that. I see, first of all, that Mary nurtured a relationship with him. In verse number 28, it said, And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. Verse 30, And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And let me say that you and I can be trusted with Jesus if we are willing to nurture a relationship with God Almighty. Amen. Alright, now there's some things that you're gonna have to do if you're gonna nurture a relationship. You're gonna have to spend some time with Him. Amen. I've got a problem with people that say that they're a Christian and that they love the Lord and they never have time for the house of God or the things of God. They never read their Bible. They never go to church. They never pray. I tell you, I don't know about them, but when I was courting my wife, every opportunity I got, buddy, I wanted to be with her. Amen. Every spare moment, I mean, I was around where she was at. Amen. So I wanted to spend time with her. And the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter number 3 and verse number 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." Amen. By the way, I've been married to mine 36 years and I still like spending time with her. Amen. And I can honestly say, Brother Bobby, that it is better today than it was when I married her. Amen. I know more about her and she knows more about me, but it keeps getting better and better and gooder, amen. I'm not trying to get away from her. I like spending time with her, amen. Some of us act like we're trying to get away from God, amen. He said this in Jeremiah 29:13. "Ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." He said in Proverbs 8:17, "I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me." You know, that verse used to really bother me because I am not a morning person. I don't do mornings. Amen. Don't talk to me till I get in the shower. Amen. I've got a brother that's exactly the opposite. When his feet hit the floor, he starts singing. I always wanted to slap him. Amen. But it dawned on me one day that you can't get much earlier than 1 minute after midnight, and I'm usually up. So that helped me. Amen. Hey, she spent time with him. Not only that, but she talked with him. That's how you find out about one another. You talk to one another. Amen. Brother Caleb's so shy, I didn't think he'd ever talk to a girl. Amen. But they are finally talking. God bless him. Amen. She talked with him. Amen. Here's what it said in Philippians 4:6. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." What did the Lord say about Moses? He said he spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaketh to his friend. You know, even when you're with somebody, there are times when you don't have to say nothing at all. Just the fact that you're together, amen. He did say, "Be still and know that I am God." But you can tell when you're in His presence, amen. When you're just with Him, amen. Me and my wife's been married so long now, I don't even have to say it. She knows what I'm thinking before I open my mouth. Amen. Hey, that's the way it ought to be with us and God. We ought to be so used to being in His presence and so accustomed to being around where He's at. By the way, all prayer is not us just talking to God. Sometimes it's keeping our mouth shut and letting God talk to us. Amen. Well, He said this in Psalms 19:14, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." I'm talking about she had nurtured a relationship with him. She spent time with him. She talked with him. She trusted him. Amen. I tell you, I just do not understand. I would not have anything to do with somebody I can't trust.
Right, right.
Amen. Here's what he said in Psalms 37:3. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Proverbs chapter number 3 and verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. Hey, you can trust Jesus. Amen. Hey, he's going to do you good. He is working all things for our good and for his glory. Amen. Well, she nurtured a relationship with him. I'm talking about, can God trust you with Jesus? And then Mary was willing to suffer reproach for him. In verse number 34, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this thing be, seeing I know not a man? Here's what it said in Matthew chapter number 1 and verse number 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on the wise when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a man, not willing to make a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, it ain't like it is in our day and time. In that day and time, she was already espoused to Joseph, and legally, he could have had her stoned to death for being pregnant, amen, out of the bounds of wedlock. But she was willing to take that reproach upon herself, amen, and suffer reproach to be carrying the child of God Almighty.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Are you willing to suffer reproach for him? You know, it's got to where the word Christian don't mean anything. Huh? Even some of the Democrats are throwing it around. I've got to the point where I don't even believe you can be saved and be a Democrat. Amen. I know it ain't popular preaching, but how can you support abortion and sodomy and vote God off your platform and claim to be a Christian? Amen. But anyway, here's what he said in Luke chapter number 6 and verse number 22. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, when they shall separate you from their company, shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. I don't mind being called a fanatic. Amen. We ought to be fanatical about the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't mind being called a Bible thumper. Amen. The one I hear most often is narrow-minded. I'm just as narrow-minded as the Bible is. For straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Not many ways, just one way. Amen. And I don't mind being called that. I believe we ought to be just as narrow as the Bible is. And I'm willing to suffer reproach for him for the cause of Christ. Hey, you don't got to do anything in our day and time for the world we're living in to hate you. Just try to live right. Hey, it's not even just the world. We're living in a day and time when people in the church don't want you to live right. Because it convicts them about the way they're living. Amen. but we ought to be willing to suffer reproach for the cause of Christ. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 10, "For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe." Amen. Moses said he forsook Egypt, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He was willing to bear reproach. Are you willing to bear reproach? Amen. Do the people you work with know you're a Christian? Do the places where you shop on a regular basis, the grocery store and the gas station where you buy gas, do they know you're a Christian? Amen. Hey, we ought not be hiding the fact that we are children of the King. Amen. We ought to be willing to suffer reproach. There ought to be something different about us. We ought not fit in with this crowd down here. Then I see a third thing about, can God trust you with Jesus? Mary was loyal to Him. Look here in verse number 46. "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Amen. She was loyal to Him. Have you got any fair weather friends? You know, I've had some people that I thought, man, they love me, they're my friend. And I didn't know it, but they was a cut in my throat behind my back. They weren't very loyal. I remember growing up, I grew up 20 miles east of Indianapolis, and we used to play basketball, and we would go, our coach always told us, if you want to get better, play somebody better than you. So we would get together on Saturdays and go down to the projects to play. And one day they play a very unique kind of basketball, no blood, no foul. So we was down there playing one day and it started getting out of hand. I called timeout. I said, "I think we need to leave." I said, "It's fixing to jump off in a fight." "No, no, no, let's stay." I said, "Well, now look." I said, "If it breaks out, I expect all of y'all to get in there and help us." Well, it wasn't long. It jumped off all right. Well, I just did what was natural. I grabbed the one closest to me and went at it. Wasn't long, I realized me and two of my buddies was getting the devil beat out of us, and our other three friends are standing over there watching us. The biggest guy we had, standing there watching. We got done. I said, "Roger, why didn't you help us?" He said, "Y'all was getting whipped. Wasn't no need in me getting whipped too." That was not loyalty. Amen. I did get even though. About 3 months later, these three of them jumped on him. I watched him get the devil beat out of him. He said, "Why didn't you help me?" I said, "You was getting whipped. Wasn't no sense in me getting whipped too." I'm talking about being loyal. Amen. We ought to be loyal in our conversation.
Amen.
Here's what he said in Philippians 1:27. "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Amen. Hey, we ought to be a Christian not only on Sunday, but we ought to be a Christian every day of the week. Amen. Our conversation ought to be the same outside these walls as it is inside these walls. I got caught in traffic several years ago coming through the gorge, and there had been a bad wreck and traffic was stopped. So we got out and were standing on the freeway, and the guy next to me got out of his semi-truck and he is cussing every breath he drew. So finally I got one of them little gospel tracks, chick tracks about truck drivers, and gave it to him. He said, "Oh, I'm a Christian." I said, "I could tell." He said, "What do you mean by that?" I said, "If you're a Christian, I'm the Pope." I said, "Christians don't talk like that."
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Our conversation, hey, we're to be holy for He is holy.
Yeah.
Amen. Here's what he said in 2 Corinthians 1:12. "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you."
Amen.
You were. Amen. So we ought to be loyal to Him in conversation. We ought to be loyal to Him in consecration. He said this in Psalms 4:3, "But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for Himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto Him." He said this in 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 20. "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work."
Amen.
Now, I do believe that we have got it backwards. I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm getting ready to say. But we preach separation from, separation from, separation from. And I do believe that we ought to be separated from. But I believe we've dwelt too much on that and not preach separation unto, separation unto. If you ever get separated unto God, separation from the world will take care of itself.
Amen.
And if you're doing it for Him, I'm telling you, it'll stand when the earth falls.
Amen.
Well, she was loyal to Him. And then I see that Mary loved Him. You say, "Preacher, how do we know that she loved Him?" Well, she obeyed Him. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel chapter number 15 and verse number 22, Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." If you love me, keep my commandments. Hard for me to believe you love Him and you don't even try to keep His commandments. Amen. Hey, I'm not saying we're going to succeed all the time, but there ought to be something inside us that grieves us when we fail. Amen. We ought to be doing everything that we can to show our love to Him. It ought to be more than just lip service. We ought to be living with our lives what we say with our lips. Well, His mother told His servants there in John chapter number 2 and verse number 5 at that marriage at Cana of Galilee, she said to them, "Whatsoever He saith unto you, do it."
Amen.
And that's the way you and I ought to be. That's how we prove our love to Him.
Right.
"Whatsoever He saith unto you, do it."
Amen.
Well, not only that, she obeyed Him, but she was obsessed with Him. Matthew chapter number 22 and verse number 37. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment."
Amen.
Another place it says we're to love Him with all our strength.
That's right.
Hey, He ought to be our obsession.
Amen.
Amen. More than fishing, more than hunting, more than golfing, more than Kentucky basketball. I don't know how it is up here, but I'm telling you, in Alabama, football is a religion. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? And there's nothing wrong with any of those things in and of themselves, but you can make them an idol and you can put more importance on them than you do on the Lord. Hey, in all things He is to have the preeminence. Hey, He doesn't come second, He comes first above anything and everything else. Well, she obligated herself to Him.
Amen.
We're living in a day and time when people won't obligate themselves to nothing.
Right.
Amen. Yeah. They put more emphasis on their job than they do on Jesus.
Right.
Huh? They'll go to a family reunion and lay out of the house of God.
Right.
Huh?
Yeah.
If they want me to come to a family reunion, they better schedule it when we're not having church.
Right.
Or I'm not going. Do you understand what I'm telling you? There ought to be some. We ought to be obligated to the house of God.
Amen.
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 I like coming to church. I like God's people. I like preaching. I'm addicted to it. I got to have it. The only time I have not wanted to go to church is I got up one morning. I told my wife, I said, I'm not going to church this morning. She said, you've got to go. I said, why? She said, you're the pastor. Those of you pastors know what I'm talking about. Amen. Sometimes we get more on us than we can bear. Amen. But we ought to be obligated. Hey, I go to church when I feel like it. I go to church when I don't feel like it. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, Brother Joel, there's been times when I walked in the house of God so low I could sit on a piece of cigarette paper and swing my feet. That's low. But something happens when I get to the house of God. Son, I'm telling you, something starts bubbling up in my soul. Amen. Hey, you get to where you can't go to church. And you find out how bad you want to go and how much you miss it. Amen. You understand what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Well, I'm going to give you one last thing. Mary was by His side. She was by His side when it was tough. This health and wealth crowd evidently have never read their Bible. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Hey, He has never promised us that we would not have trials and temptations. But what He has promised is that He would be by our side, amen. No, hey, He'll never leave us nor forsake us no matter what is going on. Well, she was by His side when it was tough. She was by His side when she was taxed beyond measure. You read the account how they had to go up to the city of their birth to be taxed. Hey, I'm just telling you, sometimes... And by the way, the pressure is on. I mean, we're getting pressed from all sides. And sometimes you don't get to the point where you don't think you can take no more. But I'm glad the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. But then it says, there hath no temptation taken you but as such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear. So when we are taxed beyond measure, and it seems like the pressure just piling and piling and piling on, when we get to where we can't, the Bible says when we are weak, He is strong. And then let me say that Mary was by His side when you're tired. Amen. The Bible tells in Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. We're to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Even the psalmist David said, my foot had almost slipped when I saw the prosperity of the wicked until I went into the house of the Lord. Then I understood therein. Hey, I don't know about you, but I've got there sometime. God, you're blessing them. They're wicked. And I'm trying to live right and do right. And it seems like I can't even make ends meet. Amen. But they're getting theirs now. Ours is yet to come. Amen. And one of these days, we're going to get out of this mess. Well, I see Lashley. She was by his side when it came time to die. John chapter number 19, verse number 26 said, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then said he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciple took her into his own home. Hey, I'm talking about, can God trust you with Jesus? When it comes time to die, thank God, I've had the pleasure of being by the side of some saints of God when they have left this world. I've seen those bodies racked with pain that hadn't opened their eyes in days, and all of a sudden you feel the presence of God come in that room, and they open their eyes and a smile comes across their face, and they hold their arms up, and you know that they are out of this world. Amen. I went to the hospital to see Brother Blue a few days before he went home to be with the Lord. And every once in a while he'd hold his hand out and call some preacher's name, been dead for years. Said, good to see you. He is seeing people that was already dead and on the other side. Amen. You understand? I had a guy, I was preaching on grace one time, he said, preacher, I don't know if I've got dying grace. He looked pretty healthy, so I asked him, are you dying? He said, not that I know of. I said, then what do you need it for? God will never give you grace before you need it, but He will give you grace right when you need it. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to be the kind of Christian that God can trust with Jesus Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, I appreciate you helping me this afternoon. I bless your wonderful name. I do pray, Lord, that you would help us to be that individual, Lord, that you can count on. Lord, to do your will and to do your work. You have your will and your way. In Jesus' name, amen.